Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, race fans, Speedway Anywhere podcast, blogtalkradio.com/SpeedwayAnywhere, as well as live in-studio feed, video feed on Facebook Live on facebook.com/SpeedwayAnywhere. I haven't got that part going yet, but I do on my own page. Speedway Anywhere, it's a motorsport show, IndyCar, stock car, any car. Yes, I said IndyCar, then I finished it with any car, and maybe some multi-sports too. We're known for doing that from time to time. You can even call in at 917-889-2053 during the live show, or interact with us on Facebook Live on the live show chat, side by side, door to door on the Facebook Live. Again, that's 917-889-2053. We're typically live every Monday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time. I do have some news about that, however. We will be doing a Saturday mid-weekend show. And I'm not sure if we're going to keep the Thursday show, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. I'm your crew chief, Q. Captain Kurt will be joining in as well tonight. It's Monday, July 22nd. NASCAR is fresh off of Loudoun, New Hampshire Speedway. IndyCar was a fun late night race at Iowa. NHRA was at Mile High Nationals in Colorado. ARCA Series was the opening event at Iowa Speedway 2 for the Indy Series. So let's cut to probably the biggest news of the weekend, the one that we've been waiting for. When is Kevin Harvick going to get a win? Well, he did, and he got his first win of 2019. We now have 9 winners for this year locked in for the Chase Championship in the Cup Series. Yes, Justin Haley won at the last Daytona race earlier this month, but he isn't Chase eligible for the Cup points as he's running for the Xfinity Championship. The Cup Series has ran 20 events, believe it or not. They've ran 20 events this year, and they have 6 more to go before the championship chase begins at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, Sunday, September 15th. Now, last year, follow me here. Kyle Busch took the regular season championship, the regular season being the first 26 races of the year. And then, of course, there's the additional 10 going into which is the Chase Showdown. So last year, Kyle Busch took the regular season championship. It was always obvious that it meant nothing to him Yeah, the look in his eye, the just watching him fake a smile on camera, and just his eye was on the real cup championship. Kyle missed it at Miami and Logano. The guy in fourth outside of that top three ended up taking the title for 2018. Now this year, Kyle and Martin Truex Jr. have the most wins at four apiece, but based on points, Joey Logano is 3 points ahead of Kyle overall. So if this continues, Logano will take the regular season title. And Logano, by the way, only has 2 wins versus Kyle Busch or Martin Truex Jr.'s 4. Logano will take the regular season title at that point. But Busch, on the other hand, currently has 2,037 points if the chase was to begin today. The way that works is you build up championship points, the segment points, the stage racing. A lot of people ask me questions about that, and without sitting down and, doing a full course on it, I didn't even understand it a few years ago. But what this means is Busch would actually begin the chase in the first spot, 5 points over Logano. Remember, I just said Logano has 2,032. Busch has 2,037. There's 5 points. But I don't want to get too far ahead of myself in my notes here, because that always screws me up and then I repeat. So Busch would actually begin the chase in the first spot, 5 points over Logano. Kind of like a lot of major sports teams and how they get seeded going into the playoffs and championship. But the regular season champ, though, which other sports don't have, they get 15 bonus points. Like I just said, Kyle Busch would be 5 points over Logano based on championship and all that points. But if Logano gets that spot, that 15 bonus points, like Kyle Busch did last year, if you take the 5 points that Kyle Busch now has on Logano, but you give Logano an additional 15 points, take 5 points away from Logano, that would put him 10 points over Busch after you start the chase. None of this matters because we still have 6 races left before the chase begins. The cutoff for the chase is a little volatile, meaning the top 16 drivers. The drivers are teetering in and out for that top 16 spot, namely Kyle Larson, Eric Jones, Ryan Newman, and Clint Bowyer. So Eric Jones, Kyle Larson, Ryan Newman, and Clint Bowyer. There goes the top of that 16 that would be locked in today. But now we also have Jimmy Johnson and Daniel Suarez, who are tied outside of the top 16 for 17th. I remember looking at the points earlier. They each have 295, I believe. Maybe it's less, maybe it's more. But either way, they're tied outside of the top 16. I had people chiming in. I need the producer that I always complain about not having. We'll cover a little more of this in the stats in a bit for Cup. IndyCar and NHRA haven't changed much as far as points go, and they still have a bit to go before it's really going to matter. I just mentioned Justin Haley and his Cup win. Unfortunately, I have some bad news as far as his Xfinity team goes. And you might remember Haley took the win at Daytona a few weeks back. His crew chief, Nick Harrison, passed away overnight on Saturday. At the time I wrote this, there was no real details on it. Matter of fact, I just found out today that it was actually the day of race for the Xfinity series, and it was that night. He had been at the track for Haley's race. Nick Harrison had 5 wins as a crew chief and had just joined the team at College Racing this year. That is the team that that Justin Haley is driving for, has been driving for, and got his win at Daytona for in the Cup Series. Harrison had been atop the pit box since 2016, with his wins coming from Austin Dillon, Paul Menard, and Kurt Busch, all of them now successful Cup drivers. So, you know, the guy is quite established. Peter Suspenso, familiar name on top of the pit boxes for pretty much every series out there. He was Haley's crew chief for the Cup win at Daytona, but it might as well have been Nick Harrison who passed away. He made it very clear he is very proud of his driver for getting that Cup win, even though he was Justin Haley's crew chief in the Xfinity series. We'll get to stats and results when we come back. I got a little more news as far as, sorry, I got to go over to my button panel here. I'll get to a little bit more of that if it comes in for the news about Nick Harrison at some point during the show. But for now, we're going to cut to bumper music. And all I can say is go rest high on the speedway in the sky to Nick Harrison. We'll be right back.
In a circle.
Oh, I know. That's my favorite part. They're making a left turn. It's a sport that's easy to follow when you're hammered.
Whew. I almost dropped my headphones there. We're back. Phone in, listen in, watch in on Facebook Live. The number again to call in live to the show is 917-889-2053. Switchboard's wide open. Still waiting on a possible guest to phone in. And then, like I said, you can always chat on the Facebook Live board. on the side here. I'm trying to. I hate producing my own show, but that happens. Hey, Mark Burrington, Dan Dyker, Tim Olson. Be fun to have you call in. Michael J. Huseman, Andrew Lasky from, broadcast buddies of mine. We could always use somebody else's take on a few things that go on. Nothing real big this weekend, but it's always fun to have people hang out. Once again, 917-889-2053. I'm going to cut to some cup news. Well, we could call it inevitable that Kevin Harvick would get a win this year. But when you're looking at Jimmy Johnson now in a drought for over 2 years, Mr. Seven-time championship, you do start to worry. You can't be certain. But Harvick broke through after gaining so many stage points, decent finishes this year. He led and ran top five, but when the checker would fall, he was often right outside the top five in six. And you'll have to excuse me now. I got hiccups going on. That's always lovely, especially on air. Harvick now has 4 wins at Loudon, and this one actually made it back-to-back because he won last year in 2018, and he had 2 previous wins. I believe one was actually, 2018 and 19, and then he didn't win there in 2017, but he did win there in 2016. And then in his early years over at Childress, he had a win there too. I'm not sure what year. Denny Hamlin, who has 3 wins there, made Harvick work for it and ended up finishing second. I'd love to get a door panel, whether it's Hamlin or Harvick. I'm too far away from the Stewart Haas Racing or Joe Gibbs Racing shops to get one from either one, but that would just make some great wall hangings. It wasn't quite a Ricky Craven, Kurt Busch fight. You know that one at Darlington, come to the checkers? But it definitely got interesting. Denny Hamlin was pretty humble about it. He wasn't going to pull too much on Kevin Harvick. You got to remember that, who was it? Logano and Hamlin that headed out at Martinsville, or where, you know, it's owed to Logano. Matt Kenseth, give him a taste of his own medicine there too, I believe. Eric Jones is showing where he belongs as far as the chase goes. No wins, but he got another top five, finishing third. He's been running rather consistent as far as the series goes. I was looking at, Ryan Blaney was, you saw the 2 and the 12, you saw the 22 and the 2, and then the Penske cars look like they might grab a win, but it was Ryan Blaney up there who ended up finishing 4th, the best of the Penske drivers. Here's the big news. Matt DiBenedetto, everyone's got high hopes on him. And thought that when he moved over to the Levine family racing, not quite sure what that's how it's pronounced, but he got a top five. He broke in there and he ran strong all day. He seemed to lose a lot on pit road, or, you know, when the guys would get going for that final end of the segment, the final end of the chase points or segment points, excuse me. They would run over him, but at the end of the race, he ended up 5th. So he was pretty strong under green, that's for sure. So your top five, Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin, Eric Jones, Ryan Blaney, and Matt the Burrito. Yes, I just said that, Matt the Burrito. Can I check something real quick? I'm going to check something real quick. I got names showing up and messages yet, but that's okay. Looks like Margo Anderson decided to take a peek into the show. Keep on seeing ads and losses, ads and minuses, but that's all right. We'll keep going with the show. I got a fly in here. Not sure if you guys just saw that on camera, but yeah, I'm got to reopen my. Here we go. So we got Martin Truex Jr. He looked good early and ended up six. Ryan Newman, he's still mounting his charge in the points. He was seventh. Kyle Busch hasn't really picked up much in the way of stage points or whatnot, but he's still second in command to Joey Logano as far as points go, but he definitely commands Logano as far as the as far as wins. So Kyle Busch led, but ended up in eighth. Last year's champ, Joey Logano, finished ninth. Brad Keselowski, like I mentioned earlier, he was running up there with his teammate, Ryan Blaney. He ended up taking top 10 in 10th. So point standings, they have Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr. with four wins each. Brad Keselowski with three wins. Joey Logano and Denny Hamlin each have two. And then now there's a lot of single win drivers. Kevin Harvick, Kurt Busch, Alex Bowman, and Chase Elliott with one apiece. First up, based on points, outside of there is Eric Almirola. He rounded out the top 10. Almirola was the first driver outside the top 10. Oh, I said that wrong, didn't I? Yeah, he finished 11th. So, screwed that up. As mentioned in the beginning, Clint Bowyer is the guy in the 16th cutoff spot with Jimmy Johnson and Daniel Suarez on the outside looking in, tied for 17th. The Cup Series will head to the second race of 2019 for Pocono this year on Sunday. Something I wanted to get this crap off my head. Something I wanted to bring up is that this, as far as right now, this will be the last time that Pocono has two races on separate weekends. Next year, Pocono is going to be running a true doubleheader on a Saturday and Sunday for the Cup Series. The exact details of it and whether or not they're going to be 400 lap races, 400 mile races has yet to be seen. I heard that next year, it looks like the races are going to be shortened because they're back-to-back Saturday and Sundays. Now, whether or not the drivers have to use the same car both days, whether or not there's two separate qualifying sessions for each day, and I'm also told that the Truck Series and the Xfinity Series will be racing those weekends as well. Can you imagine if it's like it's been this year and the drivers get rained out? How are they going to make that up? Oh, we'll just run one on Monday. What are they going to do? Run a true doubleheader on Monday? That's my thought. So, because the teams need to make up time as soon as they can, say run a real doubleheader, not Saturday and Sunday, a real doubleheader on a Monday if it's due to rain, because they got to go race next weekend. I think it's a stupid idea, but I find it equally entertaining. 917-889-2053. I'm going to check the Blog Talk Radio switchboard, and I don't see anything, so we're going to keep moving down the line. Xfinity Series, the big three of the Xfinity Series were once again dominant on Saturday, except Justin Allgaier got in between them, pulling off a third place with Tyler Reddick, who is one of the big three, behind him in fourth, Christopher Bell and Cole Custer in first and second. Allgaier, still winless in 2019, is holding on for a chase berth as the first in a points position outside of the winners, as far as, a non-winner. I was pleased to know that Paul Menard was going to be the only bushwhacker in the race. For those of you who don't know what a bushwhacker is, it's when a Cup Series driver runs in the Busch Series and then steals away the money, steals away the win, blah, blah, blah. The reason it's called bushwhacker is because prior to it becoming the Nationwide Series, which is now the Xfinity Series, it was called the Busch Grand National Series. So, Menard finished fifth. Top five results went to Christopher Bell in first, Cole Custer second, Justin Allgaier third, Tyler Reddick in fourth, and like mentioned, Paul Menard ended up rounding out the top five. Once again, 917-889-2053. This became Christopher Bell's fifth win this year, with Cole Custer at five as well. The other of the top being Reddick has three. Now, like I mentioned, as far as the points go, Reddick actually has more points than Custer or Christopher Bell. He's only got three wins. So, same way it will shake out going into their chase when it begins, as far as chase points. Michael Annette is the only other eligible driver with a win in the Xfinity Series. He had the win at Daytona in the first race of the year in February. He's also a lock for the Xfinity Series. So, Allgaier is the first in line as far as points. Austin Cindric, Noah Gregson, Chase Briscoe, Justin Haley. I mentioned the bad news about him. John Hunter Nemechek, Ryan Sieg, and Brandon Jones would be your field of 12 with chase berths if the Xfinity Series chase began this weekend. Got the hiccups again. Sorry. Where was I? Oh, I was talking about the 12 that would be your field. I was having fun with another rather successful driver. Didn't have a lot of success on Saturday, but Harrison Burton, driving the number 18 for Gibbs, he made a reference to his dad in the pre-race when his dad was talking to him over the two-way from the broadcast booth, and he said that it's a good thing that NBC will be keeping Jeff Burton busy broadcasting instead of getting in his son said this, in his headset. Good times as far as that goes, because you got to understand that Jeff Burton, I believe Loudon, New Hampshire, where they were racing, is the track that Jeff Burton got his most wins at. It's either there or Darlington, but I believe they're either tied at three apiece or it's Loudon, New Hampshire. So Harrison Burton had some trouble with none other than Mr. Paul Menard. Paul Menard kept running around that top lane and trying to squeeze Harrison down to the inside lane. That's all I can really argue on that point. It happened in the beginning of the race. It happened in the second lap of the race. It happened in the end of the first stage. It happened in the beginning of the second stage. It happened all across the board. Menard admitted that he intentionally wrecked Harrison Burton on purpose due to all the earlier contact. See, I got ahead of myself as far as his dad, Jeff, who's now in the NBC broadcast booth. Paul Menard didn't bushwhack and steal the win, but he did bushwhack Harrison Burton and wrecked him. And otherwise, Harrison would have had much better than a 29th place finish. Like I said, Justin Haley, his crew chief, passed away sometime overnight from Saturday to Sunday morning after being at the track. Haley, his race ended in 13th, the final finish with his crew chief before Nick Harrison passed away. Xfinity Series will be the main event at Iowa this Saturday, the 27th, and then it's not too long after that that we'll end up having some of these chase races begin. I think, the Truck Series will be coming up on August 15th for the first of theirs. So we'll get to that next. I'm going to recap some truck notes, even though they had the weekend off. Be right back. 917-889-2053.
I wish I had something like a shot through the window. But that's the 11th time this year I've gotten the hell knocked out of me. It just gets frustrating after a while.
11th car got into me, cut the left front down. We run like shit all day anyway.
Sorry, folks. Like I say, I don't have a producer. I'm just not that lucky. So I got to get back to where I'm supposed to be here. As far as the truck series, they had the weekend off. Tyler Ankrum, he wasn't eligible at the beginning of the 2019 season because he wasn't yet 18. He was only 17, but he turned 18 and he got himself a win over at Kentucky the previous week. So the weekend had everything. Stuart Friesen having his truck taken away for an infraction. I'm just skimming my notes from last Monday's show. But he ended up finishing up in second. So Stuart Friesen still got a great finish. They didn't end up fining him, by the way, which is the way it should be. That it was so gray as far as that. The problem is the rear fire panel. If you wonder what a rear fire panel is, it's not the tailgate of the truck. It's the one right behind the driver, which separates him from the gas tank, that kind of stuff. So either way, no fines. They did confiscate his truck, never gave him a chance to fix whatever the issue was. So I don't quite get it. Furthermore, into the Ross Chastain news, we can't let Watermelon Boy escape the conversation. He needs to hold on to where he's at in the points as he's entered the top 20 in points for his win to be valid for the truck championship to for the truck championship to matter. Let's see, where else were we? Oh yeah, he's in 18th ahead of Natalie Decker, and then Natalie Decker 19th, and then Anthony Alfredo in 20th. So Chastain is 10 points ahead of Decker, but is 35 points behind the next position for 17th, which is Gustine, big name from last year's ARCA series, who's running trucks full time this year. So it's five drivers with at least one win in the truck series: Brett Moffitt, Austin Hill, Johnny Sauter, Tyler Ankrum, who grabbed that win at Kentucky, and now Ross Chastain's win is eligible as he's in the top 20. The next three spots, if the chase was to begin today, are Grant Enfinger, Stuart Friesen, and Matt Crafton. Harrison Burton would be out of the championship if it started today. He's got some work to do. And then, where else are we? Oh, Sheldon Creed. Sheldon Creed has only three races to make up some ground if he's going to be in that top eight when their chase begins. Pocono is the next stop for the trucks on Saturday, July 27th. The ARCA series will be there on the 26th, which I'll be mentioning in a moment. So I say it's bad when I get ahead of myself in my notes. I haven't looked at 2020, but I think the Cup doubleheader is going to shuffle the truck schedule next year. Not sure which day that's going to end up on. Are you going to talk for me? Because my voice is tired.
Well, you talk. There, I'm talking. You're just spreading the news.
I have not had a cocktail. I have not had a beer. And, cause sometimes that stuff actually makes it harder to talk in more ways than one: dehydration and intoxication.
And sometimes it makes it easier to listen to people too, though. Think about that.
Sometimes it makes it easier to look at women too. NHRA, they ran the Mile High Nationals in Colorado over the weekend. Unfortunately, we're still on the watch for the 150th win of The Force. You might have heard of them.
Well, The Force has been kind of asleep, so.
Hey, Cressy, by the way, I realized you chimed in. They're at Mile High Nationals. Nothing big to report. Pretty much same old news. It's a photocopy of last week's notes. Steve Torrence is the lock for the showdown, and he has Brittany Force in tow in second in top field. The results were, like I said, carbon copy. Steve Torrence wins the top field. His streak continues there. So, I don't know. It's getting to be another race for second. And I have an opinion, and I think it's kind of fact that last year, Courtney Forrest was leading the points going into the showdown, and it only took her like 2 weeks to get shuffled back to sixth. Maybe the same thing will happen with Torrance. Who knows? Their points all get zeroed out. And they don't have a seeding system like NASCAR does. So, all right, Tommy Johnson Jr., he grabbed the final in Funny Car, and he also passed John Force in points. Tommy Johnson Jr. moved up behind Robert Height, who's the points leader, and John Force got shifted down to third. Pro Stock went to Greg Anderson, not the point leader. And then Andrew Hines, he grabbed another final in Pro Bike, where he leads that division for points as well. So here's your points rundown. Steve Torrance leading top field, obviously. Robert Height still on top in Funny Car. Bo Butner leading Pro Stock. And Andrew Hines on top in Pro Bike. Every time I say Bo Butner, it reminds me of that Turd Ferguson name. You know, when the guy acting like Burt Reynolds is like, yeah, it's a funny name.
Going back to baseball player, though, Bill Buckner, when I first heard that name, it's the first thing that came to me, and I'm just going, oh, God, I feel bad for him. But I always liked the guy. And I got to just say, Tommy Johnson Jr., that sounds like a race car name. It's not one of those names like you hear from the South, but you just, Tommy Johnson Jr., it sounds like a race car driver name.
You know, I just realized I did not put the speaker on for you. Now I have.
Hmm.
So, yeah, okay, Captain Kurt just made reference to the whole thing about Bo Butner. And the thing about Bo Butner is he actually only has one T in his name. So, you know, is what it is. Yeah, one of these days I'll get a producer in here, and I keep on whining about that. And or I can actually have a live feed from Blog Talk into my soundboard that reproduces the sound to Facebook Live. NHRA, it's doing their West Coast swing thing starting at Sonoma next weekend. You know that little, the horseshoe section that the Cup Series runs on? That hard left or hard right? I don't know. Depends upon if you're looking at it from the sky or looking at it from underneath. That's pretty much the start finish line area. They'll be racing at Sonoma in California starting Friday, July 26th through Sunday the 28th. Hey, everybody, don't forget my home state and nearby states. NHRA will be headed to Brainerd, Minnesota soon on August 15th to the 18th. Thursday, August 15th to Sunday the 18th. So keep that in mind. You're going to need a tent or something because the rooms are not going to be available. If I could just get my butt up.
I got to mention something real quick here about Brainerd. For those of you from out of the state that saw Fargo, not everybody talks like that in Fargo. Okay. I've been wanting to mention that even dating back to last year. Brainerd's a nice little town.
It's actually not that little anymore.
No, it's not. It hasn't been little for a while, so, but.
Yeah. And besides that, if you don't have a camper, you don't have a tent, could pull your car into a, oh, I don't know. There's got to be places around Mille Lacs and on the outskirts.
Yeah.
Just suck to drive through all that traffic on race days, actually. Yeah, it's coming up. I got free lodging, probably the most convenient lodging, and Tammy, I'm sure she loves to cook. doesn't matter what, everything she touches turns to gold when it comes to food. So, the Arca series. Before I get to anything resembling news for Arca, I love the title of this race. It's called Fans with Benefits. Again, folks, if you want to chime in on the Fans with Benefits, 917-889-2053. The note that I made about that was I kind of wonder who gave the go-ahead to use that title. Fans with Benefits. I mean, it's like a big old swingers party in the middle of Iowa Speedway or parking lot or whatever. And parties are kind of fun out in the parking lot. I just never thought that, of it as a fan with benefits type thing. But yeah, it was called the Fan with Benefits 150 for the ARCA series. Obviously, they're all in agreement. They all got the race on. They all got it on. Oh, God, did I just say that?
Hey, I got to bring it up real quick. Now that you mentioned out there in the parking, partying out in the parking lot, I have thought, because you always hear about the best places to tailgate in the NFL way back, you know. Of course, being in Minnesota, I would hear about Met Stadium, and ironically, everybody would mention the Minnesota Kicks. So I want to know the best track in America for tailgating, and I bet you anything there are some places you would not think about, and there's got to be. People might even bring up these small tracks where all of a sudden you just go, I could see that, you know, one of these out in the middle of nowhere tracks that people would bring up. Yeah, just for the tailgating. So, because you always hear about it in the NFL, this and that, but yeah, NASCAR, never heard about the best place to tailgate.
Well, Iowa was decent.
Yeah. My first thought was I'm guessing people would bring up Iowa. You know,
Kansas Speedway. You could do whatever the hell you want out there. You could bring your own stuff in. Just like Miami. Just like... And that's why Minnesota will never have a freaking big-time race.
Yeah, I know.
If you tight ass.
I don't know who's... No. Who's got the best beer, even. Going to who's got the best concessions. Fan experiences I've heard about, but you know, yeah, get into the tailgating. Who's got the best beer? Because you always hear about these places for baseball, football, even hockey in the NBA. But bring up, because yeah. But I'm guessing for me, I like that just the whole layout of Iowa. I mean, it was.
Okay, before we stray too far, I do have to finish up the race with Friends with Benefits or whatever it was called. Kenner Smith, another top driver of ARCA, grabbed the win at Iowa. Not sure if he got any benefits, but, you know. Smith, who won for the fourth time in 2019, is actually only eighth in points. Keep in mind, though, that Michael Self has three wins, but Smith has only made eight starts. Michael Self, he's ran all 14 races for the ARCA series, so he's in top of points. Now, Michael Self, he finished in third at Iowa. He's first in points. Chandler Smith, he's only raced eight races. And I wanted to get more details, but I'm going to say something outright. And I don't care if people get pissed. The ARCA website is garbage. It sucks. I can usually click on a tab somewhere on the page, find all the points, previous results, all the above. The ARCA website, you can't do that with. I had to dig so deep just to find out that Chandler Smith is only raced 8 races and is 8th in points. So I was trying to do some digging around to figure out why is Michael Self at the top of the points. And no, their website is crap. It's always been crap. The World of Outlaws ain't much better, by the way. And I've tried to keep my mouth shut about this since last year, but after doing this show, I've earned my right to bitch as far as their websites go. Even finding the schedule for their upcoming or past races isn't always a real joy. Finding out how their point system works, that part's even worse. But yeah, anyways, ARCA is going to head to, and now you know. And knowing's half the battle, whatever I was working on for the joke up there. ARCA's going to head to Pocono as the opening event with the Truck Series and Cup Series this weekend, where the Cup Series will be the main event. So that will open up the weekend on the 26th. So, well, if you're looking for something to watch instead of Saturday Night Live, then IndyCar didn't disappoint. Iowa kept bringing on Mother Nature. So the powers that be at NBC Sports, they advised the IRL to run the race later in the night where there's a better window of weather. And by doing that, they ended up televising the IMSA race, IMSA, at the earlier hour, that even though it was scheduled to be televised at a later hour. They swapped the spots, and that would open the window for the time period to air the race live for IndyCar. So as the night crept in and the weepers in the track wept in, Indy finally got started, and they raced through the witching hour till approximately 1 a.m. Central Time. Joseph Newgarden, I think, where'd my notes go? Joseph Newgarden and Simon Pagenaud, the IndyCar winner at Indy 500, were pretty much the top dogs. So they got it done. 1 o'clock in the morning rolled around, and Roger Penske, they were talking to him throughout the night. He wanted to get back to, oh, not Kentucky. Where were we? Just last weekend. Come on, stupid. but yeah, he wanted, Loudon. He wanted to get back to Loudon before and get enough sleep and everything else. See, this is what happens when I go off script or I read ahead on script and I just turn into a babbling idiot. How are we doing here? 36 minutes. I'm way ahead. All right. Once I get done with World of Outlaws, I'm going to hit bumper, take a quick little babble break, and then we'll come back with, then what are we going to come back with? Oh, maybe some regional racing coverage before we go to multi-sports. World of Outlaws, they were at Eldora for the Kings Royal weekend, Friday and Saturday. That's a pretty big one out there. And then, it was Friday's night before the Royal, which the shots. Getting back to victory lane again. He hasn't been there that many times this year. He's been top three, but that was followed by the gravel, David Gravel. Mm. Hey, you know what I didn't tell you? I looked up the correct pronunciation, even though I can't pronounce correct right now. Logan Schuchert, or Schuhart, or whatever I was trying to pronounce it as. It's pronounced Schuhart.
Oh.
Kind of like us in Schuhart, don't bother me, but more like Schuhart, don't bother me. I'm not a big fan of mine. So Friday's night before the Royal saw Donnie Schatz getting back to victory lane, followed by David Gravel, then Logan Schuhart taking the top five. That's the first time I've said the names in succession and got it right. Saturday night's King's Royal, you know, because the previous night was the night before the Royal. That makes sense, right? That went to Brad Dude Sweet and then Logan Schuhart. I said it correct twice now. But Brent Marks snuck into the top four. I haven't had a chance to say his name much on air, at least that high in the finishing. And then Sheldon Hodenshield, rather familiar name. And then David Gravel, fifth. So points in the woo. World of Outlaws sprints are led by Brad Sweet, then the Schatz, Donnie Schatz, David Gravel, Darren Pittman, and Logan Schuhart. Three times in a row, I just said his name correctly, is coming on strong and charging his way up in points. I'm surprised he's not higher in the points because I've had to say his name a lot lately, and he's only moved into fifth. World of Outlaws will be racing throughout Pennsylvania this week. I believe they have an event tomorrow and Wednesday. I'm forgetting where, but the weekend event is starting Friday in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania at Williams Grove Speedway. I'm going to grab some bumper here and then check and see if we have any notes. And then when we come back, we'll get into some regional coverage, and it looks like we're doing great on time. So even though I've been babbling like an idiot. Be right back. Hey, Vern, I just saw that you chimed in. I didn't see the name of the other, though. Oh, well. Okay, Kurt, that's enough noise. Once again, 917-889-2053 if you want to call in. I want to cover some regional stuff and really don't know where to even start. We've had so many rain cancellations, so many heat cancellations, so many lightning cancellations. Christ, in every sport, actually. The good news is the Bandit Big Rigs are coming to town. They're all over the country, but for all you Elko fans who haven't had a chance to get over to the Speedway, I know they were canceled last Saturday night. So that sucked again. But the Bandit Big Rig series this Saturday, July 27th, that series has grown so much, and I wish I could get there Saturday. Unless, of course, it rains. So hopefully they get the event in and then maybe get a better date. I kind of like last year's when people had to wear jackets up in the crowd, and those trucks, they tear up their tires. Not in a way that the tires go flat, but they tear up their tires. Those tires become dust. And I'm not talking the marbly hot rubber that shreds. It's literally black dust. More regional racing. Wisconsin Dells has been hosting some great events, including Ty the Terror Majeski. I don't know what the hell to call him. I don't know if he has a nickname, but he's been commanding every series he gets into. He's got like 3 ARCA wins, 4 ARCA wins. You might remember he ran in the Xfinity series for Roush on and off last year. So he ran against Johnny Sauter at Wisconsin Dells. And then he ran against Matt Kenseth at Slinger Nationals at Slinger Speedway. He was leading. And then on the final lap, Matt Kenseth, I would have to say, raced him clean, but he ended up beating Ty on that final lap. Somebody needs to give that kid a break. He's the new Wisconsin hero. He's the new Dick Trickle. He's the new Matt Kenseth. He's the new, I mean, insert the answer here. I'd like to hear people tell me what they would compare Ty Majeski to. Great freaking driver. Every kind of car he gets in, he's done extremely well. So, yeah, if I could, I'd end up everywhere. If I could be in multiple places, it would probably rain at every track I go to just because I'm there. But it's pretty cold time of year to be at be up here in the northern central states. So, lost my spot in my notes here. Speaking of the region, the rain can't touch you at the X Games. That's coming up. X Games are going to be back at U.S. Bank Stadium, downtown Minneapolis, August 1st through the 4th. And like I just said, you can't be everywhere, so how do you choose? Because the World of Outlaw Late Models will be coming to Cedar Lake Speedway, you know, at the same time as the X Games, on August 1st through the 3rd. So that's another one of those decisions type thing. So I, the World of Outlaw Late Models, I didn't get to go up and see up there in Ogilvy. I didn't get to see World of Outlaw Sprints the week before. And, oh, I don't know. It's just the way it goes, I guess. All right, multi-sports. This is where my voice takes a break.
I don't know the Twinkie score, I'm afraid to mention, but this would be fun to sweep. I don't know if they're going to do that, because let's not forget they are playing a team that's got the history going, oh, I don't know, about the last 1,000 years. Sorry, New York. You're used to it, so.
Yeah, my buddy Clayton Caldwell, he's a New York Mets fan from New Jersey. He doesn't he doesn't much care for the Yankees either. They're in the top of the third, 2-2.
Yeah, okay. And one thing though, I've always wanted, when you've mentioned him being the huge Seinfeld fan, though, and I know he's a Met fan, but I've always wanted to know, what did people talk about in New York when George got the job with the Yankees and Steinbrenner? I've never got to ask anybody from around New York questions like that.
Yeah.
And,
I think his Mets were down 8 games from 500.
Yeah.
After the last time I talked to him, he was talking about how they're 7 games out of 500. But
who is the George Steinbrenner of racing? It's something I have thought about from time to time.
You'd have to come up with that one on your own.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, I can't say it's Jack Roush, of course, you know, not trading people left and right, but I'm wondering, I'm bringing up something in Seinfeld here again, but when Steinbrenner wanted to trade George to get some chicken, I am literally wondering, when teams have ran out of parts, if they have literally offered to give up a driver to another team to get parts because they needed the parts so bad. And I'm not trying to be funny there, but I did think about that episode of Seinfeld, because you were bringing up something I brought up about racing around that time, and I'm just thinking, I'm wondering if a racing team, because I did know who Childress was, I had heard the name Jack Roush, if literally they've ran out of parts where they were going to give up a driver just to get a part.
I don't think it's so much up to the team owners or the drivers. I think it's up to the manufacturers as far as the support.
Oh, okay.
At the track.
Okay, I would not have thought of that at all.
I've also heard that from time to time, you know, that just because, okay, a Chevy has to have a Chevy engine, Toyota has to have a Toyota, et cetera, Ford.
Right.
But there are different oil fittings to the rear oil coolers. And then, okay, a team borrows another team an engine. A Chevy team borrows a Chevy team an engine.
Okay.
Now, oil fittings get modified, and then all of a sudden, during qualifying, during practice, and especially during the race, so they go out on the track, and they screw it up for everyone, because not all the electrical is the same. Not all the flares and fittings are the same. Not all the, you know... it's not a perfect marriage from manufacturer to the same manufacturer. I mean, the only one that's got that part covered is Goodyear with the tires. Okay. And
yeah, I was going to bring up tires too, because, and another thing though about the engine, and going way, way back, like watching that last race of 90 Cup season at 2 a.m. from Atlanta. And I think that was Morgan Shepherd's win. I could be wrong, but two, where they would talk about like the engine builders, where I just thought, well, isn't it, you know, directly, you know, a Ford has to have that Ford. I don't see like a Ford having a Chevy engine, but though then they get to kind of screw around with them a little bit. You kind of have to, but
well,
yeah.
You got to imagine that, okay, take for instance, if you're manufacturer legal, or excuse me, loyal, and you You're Kevin Harvick, and you're at the end of your contract for the year, but you're under the contract with Chevy for another 2 years. You can only sign on to another Chevy team, okay?
Yeah.
For the final 2 years. So you got that going on. Now, I remember Dave Marcus, by the way. He didn't have to use a Chevy engine, even though he had a Chevy car. And he was fortunate enough that what they would do is, this is when they had second round qualifying or second and third round qualifying over the weekend. What they would do is they would take a engine from Mike Skinner, or they would take an engine from Dale Earnhardt, put it in Dave Marcus's car, which couldn't qualify any higher than, 30th, because that was the cutoff for second round qualifying or third round qualifying. And that's the way that that stuff worked. So mm-hmm. they would give the qualifying engine to Dave Marcus. Richard Childress would. If Dave Marcus wanted to maintain his support from Chevy, he could only put a Chevy motor in his car. Otherwise, he loses all of his benefits from Chevy. Make sense?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the way that stuff goes. It's even more, if the word scrutinizing or more exclusive per driver and per owner, and if you're wearing the Chevy bow tie, you better be running a Chevy engine. And you can't tell me that Chevy doesn't have some spare motors laying around there just in case. So,
yeah, and yeah, something else here too. I've kind of wondered. I wonder how many times, like somebody driving like the Budweiser car, too, has been caught drinking like a Coors with Sterling Marlin. That's had to have happened, and I've always wondered, ooh, I wonder if that ticks some people off, and it's kind of like, no, it's kind of the fun of it.
You know what that makes me think of, though? You used to have those can wraps.
Yes. Yeah.
They're kind of like window clings or something
yes.
like that.
Yep.
Couldn't you just do that?
Yeah, that you could do, and
I hope nobody hates me, but the last thing I want to drink is a freaking Coors Light. I'm not a big fan of Budweiser either, as far as American beers. But we're getting
haven't been, but
just don't give me line and Kugels.
Never.
Blog talk page. Last call, pretty much. Speaking of beer, 15 minutes to go. 917-889-2053. I'm going to be bumping off air, pretty much right on the second. So,
mention it real quick. Training camp actually technically started today for the Minnesota Vikings. And they don't start practicing until, I believe, Friday. So,
well, I was actually just going to bring that up for multi-sports. Going green. Going green from the grid, not the typical grid, the green gridiron. Yeah, this is... I think the Vikings have kind of like wanted to be left alone because, they want their new offensive linemen or their old offensive linemen and everything. Just there was so much media hoopla last year.
Yeah.
Just stay out of their hair. And I know the excitement was so over the top. The practice field had more attention than the brand new stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. I kind of brought up other multi-sport stuff. There's some things that have kind of become old news, and I'm going to I hate hiccups. It always happens when I'm on air, but that's what happens when all you do is talk your yapper off for an hour and a half to 2 hours. I don't know how a lot of people do it. Let's see. I'm going to go into my notes here on my phone, and then let's see. Oh, I changed the intro to the show tonight. You didn't get to hear it. I'm not going to tell it to you unless you chime in and listen. Oh, I made notes on my phone for Logan Schuhart, you know, World of Outlaw driver. Made notes for X Games. Would Courtney Force end up in the Ray Hall of Fame? Or would Graham Ray Hall end up in the Force Hall of Fame?
Well, I do know that, let's just say, them two had children together. I don't know if I should be excited for their children or kind of feel bad for them, because literally that's all it would be with them, you know, is racing. And you know, literally, would they have too much pressure under them? And then if they do become racers, would they have way too much pressure under them?
It's, that's where I just kind of like, who cares? It's money. And the fact that it would be a Ray Hall, there's a pretty good chance that the child would grow up to look like the guy in the ARCA series that hit the pace car.
You're the one that mentioned him this time, not me.
I did not say the name. Another thing that's kind of cool here is Robert Wickens has been spending a lot of time at the track. Robert Wickens obviously injured, I think it was August of last year at Pocono, teammate to James Hinchcliffe. Mm-hmm. He drove the pace car at Toronto.
And, okay.
He was also very present on pit road at Indianapolis the weeks leading up to the 500. So,
cool.
He's not really walking, but he can stand. I believe he got out of his wheelchair and helped himself into the car. So for guys like him and not Montoya, Zanardi, to be able to do that. Zanardi raced the freaking Rolex 24 this year, and I'm not sure about his schedule following that, but it's been pretty cool to follow. We don't have anything else. I don't want to babble about players' contracts and all that.
Could I bring up one thing about IMSA real quick, though?
Sure.
I wondered this actually on Saturday night. I have wondered if it is easier for them guys to drive in the day dealing with the sun or driving at night dealing with lights, because you know they do got lights.
I brought
on them,
or I got a segment that I'm saving.
Okay,
there's a movie
cool.
coming out to theaters called Driving in the Rain. And
okay.
I'm just gonna leave it at that. I haven't done enough research on the show that's or the movie that's coming out. I'm sure it's nothing as bad as Spinal Tap. But,
oh, don't go after Spinal Tap.
But yeah, it's called Driving in the Rain. And they'll probably answer every question you just asked. So, one thing driving me nuts lately: the Tour de France. It's all this show on frickin' NBC and NBC Sportsnet. You can't see a repeat of a race, but they'll repeat the Tour de France. Tour de France. You know, whatever. Reminds me of that guy from Talladega Nights. But, I mean, how long is, how big, how many streets could they possibly have in France? You know? This has been televised for quite some time now. So, who's ever touring the France, cross the border into a different country, because I'm sick of seeing the France. Put some racing and not bike, not bicycles back on NBC. Man. Hey, you know how there's so many simulators that teams are using for drivers now? Like real time, real life, real everything?
Oh, yes.
Wouldn't it be funny if another team put a computer virus in the other team's simulator just to screw them up?
Oh, man, that would be interesting news. Because you know that they probably in those simulators, we're going to have online access. So, although they probably wouldn't use it that much, just to be able to get information that they might need right away because something will come up. So, that could be something. Yeah,
well,
it would be interesting.
Ryan Newman at the end of last year over at Richard Childress Racing, because he went over to Roush this year. And then he hits this button in the simulator and says, "Hey, RCR, what's up, buddy?" And, I wanted to figure out a better line around Watkins Glen. And meanwhile, Richard Childress walked away, and Ryan Newman's tech buddy walks over and hooks up the ribbon wire.
Yeah.
Uploads an inaccurate version of, well, I don't know, one, two, if not every track on the circuit. And then Daniel Hemric comes in for the end of the year to run his one or two races. And instead of making a left, he makes a right.
Well, yeah.
In the actual track, because Ryan Newman decided to mess with them. I'm just using that as an example, but it just, just changing the level of banking and the actual
exactly. All of a sudden Laguna Seca instead of the corkscrew will have 90-degree Talladega banking, and Talladega will suddenly have the corkscrew, you know, and you're just there on the simulator and what happened? That would be fun. And, you know, I would be happy it would only happen in a simulator.
That would really evil is in the space flight simulators.
Oh, well, even in them, you know, somebody has to pop up different planets and aliens all of a sudden showing up. That's had to have happened. So why wouldn't race teams do that?
All right, we're about to bump out 5 minutes or so to go, but I need to get through this. We'll be on Saturdays now for a mid-weekend report, probably 11 a.m. Minnesota time or noon. It depends. There's a show on 1360 a.m. in the state of Minnesota that I like to tune into, and it lets me get a little gauge of what's really going on around here. They cover a lot of cup news and Xfinity news, truck news, NASCAR news overall, and then amongst other things. But I kind of like to get it going sometime after that. Keep track of the updates online on both the homepage, Speedway Anywhere on Facebook, and then, of course, my own page if you're on there. So that's the plan for this Saturday. We will have Bumper Monster Jesse Preston Saturday morning. He's got some events coming up, main one being Carver County Fair, August 11th. But you can hit up county fairs everywhere. Just check into it if you like motocross, tractor pulls, demolition derbies, all the above. You never know what's right across the street from your home. I used to live walking distance of Anoka County, and I probably should have taken more advantage of it. But yeah, Jesse's going to be on Saturday, and then he'll do a recap the following, I think, Monday after August 11th. Tell us how things went. Haven't had him on for quite some time, probably since that second or third Monday of 2018. So he'll be on. Looking forward to having him co-host again. Something that I don't think you heard about, Kurt. Justin Haley, remember the guy that won at Daytona a couple weeks ago in the Cup Series?
Yes, sir.
9 points eligible, doesn't qualify for the Cup Chase.
Yeah.
His Xfinity crew chief, Nick Harrison, passed away Saturday night. After the race at Loudon, which he was a part of. He's also been a crew chief for Austin Dillon. He has wins with. He was Kurt Busch's crew chief when Kurt Busch won at Daytona in the Busch Series in the number one James Finch Phoenix Racing vehicle. So, let me see. One more driver, and I feel bad for spacing this out. But yeah, Austin Dillon, Kurt Busch, and Paul Menard. So he had a little history over there between Austin Dillon and then Paul Menard with Rich Childress Racing and over to James Finch. And now he's been Justin Haley's crew chief this year over at Colleg Racing. And Colleg Racing actually fielded the car for Justin Haley's win at Daytona this year. So, but yeah, go race high at Speedway in the Sky to Nick Harrison. We'll be back on Saturday morning, Saturday noon. Haven't decided yet. So we're going to bump out. Give me a Kerplow.
Kerplow, the Minnesota Twins are now leading game one. So take that.
All righty.